podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to Talking Point, and it's a very special episode for us today because we've got a very special guest on, and here is what's coming up on today's show. We speak to Aston Martin driver ambassador Jessica Hawkins. We ask you for your comments about the unluckiest driver of the season. We'll run through your most popular answers. And then we'll look ahead to the first ever Miami Grand Prix. And we'll dive straight into our interview today. We're very lucky to have had Aston Martin driver ambassador Jessica Hawkins appear on the show. Her season starts in W Series this weekend in Miami. And here is our full interview. Hope you enjoy it. All right. Well, Jessica, thank you for coming on Talking Point. First of all, how are you?
I'm great, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. So we're speaking in the days after Imola and Aston Martin scored their first points of the season. How is the mood around the team now?
I've only just arrived, to be honest, but everyone seems okay. Everyone seems well. Everyone's good morning. So seems in good spirits.
Yeah, especially getting off the mark for the season as well. It must be a good monkey off the back for the team.
Yeah, I think it was nice to get both cars in the points. But we know we've got a long road ahead of us. And to be honest, that's still not where we want to be. So, yeah, we move forward, but it's definitely a good step in the right direction.
Yes, but moving on to yourself as well, your sort of single-seater season should be starting in Miami with W Series. You know, you're looking forward to that weekend?
I know, God. When I look back to the end of last season, I was thinking, God, and when the calendar came out, I was thinking, that's so far away. But all of a sudden, we're here, and it's in less than 2 weeks' time. And so very excited. I think it's going to be an incredible weekend. We've got two races as well, which is great. Very, very excited.
And it's a debut for Formula One in Miami, but it's the third season that W Series has been in the calendar now. So do you reckon it's had the right effects on females in motorsport so far? Do you reckon it's heading in the right direction?
Definitely. I think that speaks for itself, to be honest. The amount of more females that you see involved in motorsport now, not just the driving, but in all areas of motorsport, there are so many more now than what there were when I first started. So, yeah, it's definitely moving in the right direction. And I think W Series, as well as a few other programs and Aston Martin, are definitely a big driving force behind that.
Yeah, and when you go to race weekends now, you're getting sort of fans coming up to you and just wanting to replicate what you're doing too.
It's really heartwarming, to be honest. Obviously, it was quite difficult last year during W Series because we were still up against COVID, but I think the restrictions are a little more relaxed now, which is great. So hopefully we can get a bit more, can see more of the fans and have more interaction with them.
Yeah, another eight races as well, but they're sort of going to different places around the world too. So two American races and going to Suzuka as well and in Mexico. So going cross-continental, I mean, that's going to be a fun experience, right?
I know, it's crazy, crazy experience. And quite a lot of new tracks as well that I've never been to. So that's going to be amazing as well. I love learning new circuits. But Miami being a street circuit is definitely high on my priority list. I love street circuits.
Yeah, some of the most sort of raucous crowds as well, especially sort of Suzuka, Austin. You know, you're going to be like a big part of that weekend too.
I know, the crowds are incredible. But to be honest, I'm not going to lie, Silverstone was definitely my favourite, just because of home crowd. To me, it's a very special place because I live half an hour down the road. I can stay at home. And yeah, Silverstone is very special.
And you're only just down the road from it where you are now, I'm guessing.
Yeah, literally, I could throw a stone and it would make it to Silverstone. Well, I am in Silverstone.
Yeah, exactly. But your season's already started, though. Won a race in the touring cars. That must be the perfect start for you.
Yeah, no, amazing. And it was a really great end to what had prior been not a great weekend because we had a few issues in qualifying in race one. But, all fixed for race two. And I was very, very pleased to fight for that win so early on in the championship.
Yeah, it sort of puts a marker down for your season as well. Like, how much confidence can you take from that?
Yeah, it's probably fell at the perfect time, to be honest. So whilst a touring car is absolutely nothing like the W Series car, it has given me confidence going into the season. Not comparable in the slightest, but I have taken away some confidence.
That must be pretty fun, though, being able to sort of switch between different cars. And do you almost sort of have different modes in your mind as to when you're driving different things? Well, not necessarily in driving style, but just in general.
It's so different to drive. I have had quite a few people ask me, do you not think it's going to confuse you? But I just think if there's one thing that I've struggled with over my career is track time. And they're so far different that I don't think you could ever get them confused. It has given me more track time, which is something that I've struggled with over the years that I've been racing. So I don't see it as a bad thing.
Yeah, and the W Series, I mean, obviously Jamie Chadwick's sort of been the top of the tree in the first couple of seasons, but do you reckon you can sort of take the challenge to her this year?
Well, I'm definitely going to try, as I'm sure everybody else will, but we're all going to be fighting.
But so moving into your sort of Aston Martin like role as driver ambassador, I mean, you've had sort of first-hand insight, I'd imagine, of how the team has changed. I mean, I know you've only been doing this for just about a year, but how much has the team changed in that time because so much investment's gone into it?
Yeah, and it definitely it's starting to grow. Again, I can only go off of a year's experience, but the team is slowly starting to get bigger, full of passionate people here, and we're all wanting to win, if I'm completely honest. So, and I still get the feeling it's a family team. That's what it feels like. We're all one big family, and we're all fighting to achieve the same goal, to be honest. I don't think you'd be in Formula One if you didn't want to win. It takes too much hard work and dedication. So everybody that's here loves what they do. And you could definitely feel that within the team.
That's an interesting point you've raised about still feeling like a family team, because like there's been talk of staff expansion, maybe going up to about 200 people. So that's quite sort of impressive to keep it in that sort of same sort of feeling, really.
Honestly, I don't know anything about the figures or how many people are here or how many people are going to be here. I think I know pretty much, or certainly within the close bracket, I know everybody in kind of the same departments, and we all get on really well. And as I said, fighting for the same goal.
Yeah. Has anything sort of surprised you about being sort of involved with the Formula One scene like this, or have you sort of taken any lessons in your own driving?
So one thing that has really surprised me is how welcomed I felt so early on. It's quite a daunting thing, you know. I've never worked for a Formula One team before, so coming to work at the pinnacle of motorsport, something that I've dreamt about for a very long time, it's quite daunting. And instantly was put at ease. Everybody was so supportive and welcoming, so really I had nothing to worry about.
Yeah, I've seen you've been at race weekends as well. So as a driver ambassador, what sort of thing does that sort of entail for you over the course of a weekend?
So I do quite a lot of work with the media, some tours, the sponsors, get to a fair few meet and greets. My personal favourite part, obviously, over a weekend would be hot laps, if they're running. They haven't been running at everyone, but definitely my favourite has been that part. I get to sit in on engineer briefs and debriefs and all things like that. So they're kind of my main roles over the weekend.
Yeah, so hot laps, is that effectively you driving people around the track as fast as you can and scaring the hell out of them? Yeah. Has there been anyone sort of famous you've had alongside you?
I don't know, they've all got helmets on.
Fair enough. But it's in terms of race weekends as well, like you must be able to sort of feel that buzz around what's going on, and that can only like surely excite you more ahead of this weekend, especially heading to a new circuit too.
I know Miami is going to be absolutely incredible. And also I get to go on track walk as well with the drivers. Not at everyone, but on most of them I've been on track walks. Yeah, Miami is going to be off the chart. I think it's going to be one of the best races, and I'm excited to experience it.
Yeah, fair enough. And hopefully the team will be able to sort of build on that as well. And like the drivers have still shown that, you know, they can master the wet conditions. I mean, both of them are excellent in the wet. And it shows that, you know, on the driving side of things, the team should hopefully be okay. It's just a case of just trying to just bring themselves back to the rest of the field, I guess. And how the team sort of gone about improving that from what you've seen?
So I think nothing's going to be solved overnight. You know, we are literally talking about, first of all, I think it's incredible that so early on there are so many teams so close together.
Yeah, well, everyone scored points now. Yeah,
it's incredible. So yeah, it's going to take a little bit of time to refine it and get us all the way at the front. But honestly, the drive that is here and between everyone, it's going to happen. It's just a matter of time. So we have an aggressive development program. And as I said, we're making steps in the right direction. It's not going to happen overnight, but it is going to happen at some point, and we will get there.
Yeah. And in terms of the driving department too, I mean, I've seen you speak about Sebastian Vettel before and how much a sort of inspiration he's been. And obviously his future isn't sort of confirmed beyond the end of the season, but I just wanted to ask, you know, if he was to call it quits, like how much of a miss would he be, not just at the team, but in Formula One as a whole?
Sebastian is loved all round. He is loved, and rightly so, because he is an amazing person. I have no idea.
But working with him and Lance and Nico Hülkenberg as well, I mean, how much time have you been able to spend with them? How much have you been able to sort of learn from them as a driver yourself?
a Formula One car and a W Series car, whilst they don't look a million miles apart, they're a single seater, they're really quite far apart, to be honest. So whilst there's no direct correlation, I can learn from many other things, like how they communicate, things they look for on track walk, things they go through in debriefs, in briefs, the way that they work with the team. So yeah, there are so many things to learn from, even if the cars aren't the exact same.
Yeah, and just a bit more on W Series, actually, there's been that big broadcast deal announced with Sky as well and highlights on Channel 4. I mean, that sort of visibility for the series is going to be really important, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think it's going to bring a whole new audience to W Series. It did such a great job in the first few years. There was only one place for it to go. So, yeah, that's going to bring a whole new dimension to fans. And it just seems to keep growing and growing.
Yeah, is there a place you're looking forward to racing most this year, maybe other than Silverstone?
Oh, I was going to say Silverstone.
Yeah, sorry.
which is really boring, right? I should be saying something like Suzuka or something, but...
Nothing like British fans, no?
I'm looking forward to going back to COTA because I really enjoyed COTA. Miami, I think, is going to be off the chart, so I'm going to go Miami, but really, I'm saying Silverstone.
And the amount of sort of... like people that have gone into W Series as well. I mean, the sort of quality of the people that are coming in, it shows the intention of the way the series is trying to go, I guess.
Yeah. Honestly, I wouldn't be racing without W Series, or I definitely would not have got back into racing without W Series. So I have a lot to thank them for. And what they're doing is great. They're creating so many opportunities for females out there, and I'm lucky enough to be one of them. So yeah, it's moving in the right direction. Long live W Series.
And just for the rest of the Formula One season as well, is there, what is the target for Aston now? If you're in a position to say, obviously.
We're here to win races and we're here to win world championships. I think that's the only goal that we want. But again, as I said earlier, that doesn't happen overnight. We know that we've got work to do, but we have got strategies in place to make that happen. It's just not going to happen overnight, unfortunately.
Yeah, fair enough. But one thing I did want to finish with is a section we've been doing with everyone called Formula One Firsts. So this is basically just asking everyone who's been on the show just their sort of very first memories of Formula One, really. So the first thing I want to ask you within that, Jess, is what is your first memory of Formula One?
I've got a feeling I was at my dad's house, and I can't remember what year it was, but I remember being pretty young. And Fernando Alonso, I can't remember if he was winning, or he was coming through the pack or something like that. I remember him, and he was in the blue and yellow car?
Yeah, the Renault, yeah.
Yeah. That I don't know what year it was, but that's, I think, my first memory.
Was that where the sort of love of Formula One started? Did you sort of keep it on your radar since?
I think so. I think that was... because to be honest, when I first started racing, I didn't even know what racing was. It was just something that I fell upon one day. I saw it in the distance, and I begged... and I don't know if that was before or after that Formula One. Maybe it was, I don't know, to be honest. First.
Yeah, that's interesting. Almost a sort of reverse approach to it. So sort of moving on from that, like, what was the first race you can remember going to?
I think I was quite old before I went to an actual... I've got a feeling I was not... I was 18 or something before I'd actually gone to a Formula One event, maybe even a bit later. No, I must have been about 17 or 18, Silverstone. And I've got a feeling Lewis was either just coming into his prime or he would, I don't know.
Fair enough. But, you know, the last thing I wanted to ask you, like, who was the sort of first driver or team you supported?
I think I've got to say Alonso. He was the standout at the time when I first saw that race in Monaco. So I didn't know what teams were, if I'm completely honest. So I can't give you a team.
No, fair enough. But thank you very much for answering those questions. And thank you very much for appearing on Talking Point, Jess. I really appreciate your time.
Worries. Thanks for having me.
A big thank you to Aston Martin and to Jess for appearing on the show. But now we're going to look ahead to this weekend in Miami. But we're also going to take a look back at the first few races of the season and who's been the unluckiest driver. So we put a post out on our social media pages asking you for your thoughts as to who's been the unluckiest so far this season. And my Planet F1 colleague, John Wild, is here to join me. And John, we've had some interesting answers to this, haven't we?
Yes, we have. Yeah, several drivers in the mix, Henry. And all had different degrees of bad luck so far.
Yeah, definitely. And there's one that stood out particularly emphatically, in fact, by far the most commented on driver, Carlos Sainz. Urek said Carlos is the only right answer, and Dean wrote that Carlos has had a torrid start to the season. You can see in his body language as he watches his teammate leading the championship, and we had absolutely piles of comments on him. But John, where do you stand on Sainz's luck this season?
I certainly don't think it's a no-brainer that he's been the unluckiest driver by any means. I think some of his misfortune has been of his own doing, really. There's been a couple of mistakes from him. But, yeah, I mean, in terms of the bad luck, we have to go back to Australia qualifying, don't we, when he was caught out really by Fernando Alonso's crash. Sainz had just, he was just on the point of putting in what looked a really good lap, and the red flags came out, and that scuppered him from setting a potential front row time. And we know what happened in the race after that. He spun out. And then there was another occasion, obviously similar, wasn't there, when he was taken out of the race by Daniel Ricciardo on the opening lap. So yeah, a couple of examples of bad luck, but also at Imola, he did spin out of qualifying as well. So, yeah, it's a bit of a mixture for Carlos Sainz. I certainly wouldn't say he's been by far the unluckiest driver to this point.
Yeah, that's it. There have been elements of bad luck, but as you say, at Imola, he did well in the sprint to get himself back up to position in that. And then, you know, there's not much he could have done about it, really, to be fair.
No, absolutely no. I mean, that was entirely Daniel Ricciardo's fault, wasn't it? He got across the curb on the wet track there, just went straight into the side of Sainz, and Sainz got beached in the gravel. You know, ironically, Ricciardo was able to continue, albeit not competitively. But yeah, it's had a big impact on Sainz's season. He's dropped well below his teammate Charles Leclerc in the standings, and it's looking very much now as though he's going to have to play a supporting role within the Ferrari team.
Unless that changes very quickly, of course. But another driver who seemed to pop up in your comments as well was Sainz's compatriot Fernando Alonso. Ben wrote, when we asked who the unluckiest driver was, Alonso probably. Max's lack of luck is sort of offset by his two wins. Alonso's just suffered incidents and issues the whole time. And at Impartial F1 Fan on Twitter wrote, Fernando Alonso, a race retirement due to a mechanical issue in Saudi while performing well, mechanical issue in Australia qualifying when looking good for the front row, hampering his weekend, also not helped with the safety car in that race, and also hit by Mick Schumacher in Imola, ending his race. I mean, John, I'd say Fernando Alonso is a good candidate.
Yeah, most definitely. I think of the two Spaniards, I would say Alonso's had more than his share of bad luck, certainly compared to Carlos Sainz as well. I mean, we only have to look back at Imola last week, don't we, when on the opening lap he found Mick Schumacher's car went into the side of his and caused some damage to the bodywork. And then we saw a few laps later when Lewis Hamilton was overtaking him, a big sort of piece of the bodywork just flew up into the air, didn't it, off the car, and it was described as being looking like something out of a movie the way that happened. and that was the race over for the two-time former world champion. As you say, he had that breakdown in Saudi Arabia, and then the qualifying crash in Australia as well, where through no fault of his own, it turned out he crashed. There was a hydraulic issue that affected his power steering. So it's, yeah, I mean, he was quoted last week as saying he should have 25 or 30 points, Fernando Alonso, so far, rather than just the two that he sits on. So that tells you the story, and none of it has been his fault at all, really.
Yeah, look, if you look at the driver standings, it looks like it almost isn't real with Fernando Alonso. He does look like he started the season so well. I mean, he's looked comfortably the quicker of the two Alpines for the first few races, at least in my opinion. I don't know what his luck has to do to change. I mean, especially in Australia too, you know, when he got caught out in qualifying, he tried to rectify that by using the reverse strategy, starting on a harder tyre than everyone else, and then he just got caught out by the safety car, didn't he? So, you know, there's not a lot that's gone right for him so far.
Absolutely. I think all of us F1 fans want to see Fernando have a really strong race again, don't we? Because he's such an exciting driver to watch. He got a podium last year in Qatar, of course, when he finished third. In Australia, he could well have started certainly on the front two rows. And if everything had gone right for him there, then who knows, it could have been another podium. But yeah, certainly hope to see his fortune turn around and see some strong performances from him in the upcoming races.
And we all know that Mercedes have been struggling as well. And A fair few votes have also come in for Lewis Hamilton on this, being the unlucky driver. A different Ben wrote, clearly Hamilton, yes, Max has had two DNFs, but he's had the speed to compete when he's got the reliability. The way the car has been for Lewis, though, and his horrendous luck with safety cars has been shocking, quite frankly. Total opposites, George Russell, in fact, who has all the luck in the world so far, but both amazing drivers, of course. And Gaz also said Lewis Hamilton after the two safety cars, that where he had bad luck. I mean, yes, Mercedes haven't had the strongest car, but yeah, Hamilton has had bad luck, hasn't he?
Yes, he definitely has. I think on a lower level than Fernando Alonso, it hasn't been costing him race finishes, for example. It's just been putting him further down the order than he should have been. And they've all been related to sort of safety car periods and pit stops, really, haven't they? He was unable to come into the pit lane in Saudi Arabia when it was closed. I mean, at Imola last week, for example, he stayed out probably just a little bit too long before coming in for slicks. He came in when there was, an absolute sort of traffic jam trying to get out of the pit lane as well. He was compromised by an unsafe release for Esteban Ocon that nearly put Hamilton into the pit wall. So it's really just been sort of strategy issues that have affected the seven-time champion. And that's something that Mercedes need to start getting right. And certainly George Russell has been the beneficiary of that so far.
Yeah, Russell's the only driver to have finished in the top five in every race so far. And you do get the feeling that Hamilton would have been with him all the way, you know, bar the sort of DRS train he got himself stuck in Imola. And every so often there is just that sort of kind of race for Hamilton, isn't there, where it just hasn't gone right. And it just feels like there's been a few of them in a row this year.
Yeah, definitely. It's about time his luck turned for the better. And let's just see what Mercedes can do with that porpoising W13. It's, they need to get to the bottom of that and get them further up the order on the grid and hopefully in races as well.
Yeah, and they said it's a very simple thing, isn't it? Because to get on top of it, they have to raise the ride height, and raising the ride height then drops the performance level as well. So it's all about once they're able to sort that and run the cars closer to the ground again, then you'd think that would be their problem solved. But again, there could still be a significant performance gap to Red Bull and Ferrari, couldn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. I know that Johnny Herbert was talking last week and he said he could give Mercedes and Lewis Hamilton a chance of winning a race, but he doesn't really think it'll happen until perhaps towards the end of the season. So there could be a little bit of hardship to suffer for them in the meantime as well.
And yes, lastly, we've also had a couple of comments about Max Verstappen. I mean, a couple of people earlier on did say that his luck has been offset by a couple of wins in there, and it's true that every race he started or every race he's finished, excuse me, he's won so far. But Franciszek writes, definitely Max Verstappen being unluckiest. Huge effort and pace, but very low points outcome due to not being his fault. That's different with Carlos Sainz, who was also unlucky, but lots of unnecessary mistakes. I mean, that seems like the key difference, doesn't it, John? The fact that when Verstappen has done an entire race distance, he's not put a foot wrong.
Yeah, it's just a very, very simple one to weigh up, isn't he, Max Verstappen this season? Two wins, two DNFs, both of those retirements, no fault of his whatsoever. Both to do with the RB18 fueling issue in Bahrain, and then the such similar sort of thing again in Australia. So, yeah, I mean, Max is driving like a world champion, you would say. And, you know, he's missed out on 36 points through no fault of his own. He would be ahead of Charles Leclerc in the world championship, but for them, following Leclerc's mistake at Imola. So, yeah, it's just all about the reliability, really. Can Red Bull get that right from Miami onwards? I think that's the key to their season.
And yes, let's talk about Miami. So it's another brand new circuit for Formula One. It's, it's complete with a marina that isn't quite really a marina, but it's another new circuit for Formula One. It's designed by Apex Design. So it's sort of a move away from Herman Tilke on this occasion. It's going to look like an interesting weekend, John. Like what do you make of the circuit itself? But, you know, another race in America, now Formula One's doing so well over there.
Yeah, I really can't wait to see what it's got to offer, to be honest. It's going to be the second of three next year. I mean, once we've seen Miami, we've probably seen nothing until we get to Las Vegas next year. That'll probably sort of, outstrip everything, won't it? Literally, if you'll pardon the pun. But it's going to be one of those weekends where all the celebrities come out to play, won't they? There'll be your David Beckhams there and people like that on the grid, probably. It's going to be a really thrilling occasion, and it'd be interesting to see what the track's got to offer. I know that the drivers that have being on the sim, tried it out there. I've all spoke very favourably of it. The likes of Pierre Gasly and Valtteri Bottas, I know for two in particular, are both really looking forward to it. So, it's going to be another really interesting occasion, and we'll see what the weather does as well. That could play a part as well. The sort of typical tropical Florida showers might materialise and mix it up as well.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting for the title race as well. I mean, Charles Leclerc still has a big lead in the championship, but that could be eroded even further, especially if Verstappen keeps up the form he showed, particularly in Imola.
Yeah, I mean, the one good thing, I guess, for Charles Leclerc this weekend is there's no sprint qualifying, which offers 8 points to the winner. And Max, of course, took the full house, didn't he, in Imola last time out. He took 34 points altogether that weekend and you know, made big inroads into Leclerc's title lead. So, again, for Ferrari, it's all about getting to the finish. I think they've got a very fast car. I think they'll fully expect to be on the front row, certainly with Leclerc, if not Sainz. So, I think, Leclerc will obviously see Verstappen as his big danger this weekend, and he'll hope to keep him behind him and try and gain a third win of the season.
And it's a track with sort of different characteristics to what we've seen so far in the season. Quite a few sort of mid-speed corners as well, and a very, very tricky middle sector from the looks of it, but also a big long straight down towards turn 17, 18 and 19 to finish the race. So it could, or to finish the lap, excuse me. And it's it looks like an interesting one, doesn't it? And it's the first of a 10-year deal that they have. So if it doesn't deliver, then you'd hope that it does sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine that there is some scope for them to redefine the track a little bit if it doesn't prove to be exactly what's hoped for this time around, a bit like they did with Saudi Arabia as well, with it being sort of a more or less a street circuit around the Hard Rock Stadium there. So big long straight, sure we'll see plenty of overtaking on that, and the high and medium speed corners should provide quite a thrilling spectacle. And like I said before, it's one that I'm really looking forward to. And just the timings are interesting as well. It's going to be a bit of a late night for us working on the site throughout the weekend. But
here in the UK,
it's going to be fun though. And it's always great to get a new circuit onto the calendar, isn't it, and see what it's got to offer. So it's one that I think we're all relishing.
Yeah, exactly, John. And thank you very much for joining me.
Thanks, Henry.
And thank you to you for watching or listening as well. Make sure you can follow all of the Miami Grand Prix across the course of the weekend here with us on Planet F1. Make sure you follow us on social media as well. And once again, a big thank you to Aston Martin and for Jess Hawkins for appearing on today's show. And yes, thank you very much. And we will be speaking to you after the Miami Grand Prix.
Podcast Network.